You are listening to the Myth TV Cast. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Myth TV Cast. I'm Pat Davila. With me is my co-host, Dan Fry.
How's it going, Pat?
Excellent, Dan. It's been 2 weeks already.
Yeah, no, I can't believe it.
It goes by really quick. You know, we've been doing this every 2 weeks now, and I don't know, it just seems like, oh, it's time to do another show.
Exactly. I feel the same way.
I'm not complaining. I enjoy the time that we do.
Me too. I've been enjoying this a lot.
So what's been new in the last couple weeks?
Extending my deck. We're going to put a new deck on the house, so that'll be good. The girls can get down into the yard then and play. We're going to put stairs down.
Excellent. That should be fun.
Yeah. It's going up tomorrow.
I had fun today. I was cutting my grass. It's been raining a lot the last week over here.
Too much.
Yeah.
It's a pain in the ass,
man. It's like a jungle. I have a decent-sized property. I got about a half an acre, and normally when I cut the grass, it's like I don't use the bags, and I just leave the cuttings where they are. It's okay. But it's been raining so much that I had to put the cuttings inside of garbage bags because I would have had piles and piles. And if you leave that like that, you know, the grass will die if you leave it asleep.
Yeah.
So what normally take me in like an hour and 15 minutes took me about 3 hours.
Yeah.
and then my little guy, his mowers are coming in. So it's like he's been like going through hell the last week or so. So that's always fun with little kids.
Yeah, yeah.
But as far as Myth TV, what have I been doing? Alan Metzler, one of my co-hosts on the Linux and Tech Show, he pointed me to a script, which I'll put in the show notes, where you can post your recordings automatically to Identica. And it's pretty cool. So, you know, you set it up. You put in your create user jobs. You can do it in a couple different ways. You can either go through MythWeb or you can go through MythTV setup from the command prompt. And that'll fire up the MythTV setup and you can go into your user jobs and usually there's a couple of them in there already. One's usually the commercial flagging job. That's probably the highest one.
Transcode,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they'll have like Myth 2 iPod or one of those kind of scripts, mm-hmm. depending on which.
Does Linhas come with any of those?
Yes, it does.
By default, yeah.
Yeah. And so I put this little script in there to post to Identica. And I would imagine it wouldn't be too difficult to do the same thing to Twitter.
Mm. So I don't think so.
So, you know, if you have like your recordings going in the middle of the night, your friends will know what you're recording.
Yeah.
I don't know if everybody wants to do that. I just did it because...
Does it just do recording or does it do watching or anytime state changes like that?
It's just recording.
Just recording?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It just says Mythbox recording, blah, blah, blah. It's all time. It's all
that, that's kind of funny. If I do that, if I post something like that to Twitter, it automatically posts over to my Facebook account. So everybody on Facebook would also then know what I'm recording too. So
that's okay.
Yeah. Like I started messing with Boxy the other week or last weekend just to see what it was about.
What do you think of Boxy?
I liked it. I thought it was kind of interesting. It's a little slow like to load all my... all my music and whatnot in, but what I really wanted to do was try to tie it into Myth TV and be able to share out my recordings and whatnot. And I believe there's a Myth protocol that you can set up in there that it's I think it's broken right now. And if somebody knows anything more about that, just you know shoot me an email, let me know. But I couldn't get it to tie into my Myth TV from my desktop. So a lot of people said they have it working where they're running it on the same system as their Myth TV. So everything's just running local host, you know, one to the other. I was trying it over the network. I didn't seem to get any real luck with it. But really? Again, I didn't have to spend too much time with it. But I did try. There was Hulu integration right into it, which I thought that was taken out. And it did post to my Twitter account that I was watching an episode of ALF from season 3. You know,
and that
went posted over to Facebook then too. So I was like, okay, I think I got to shut this down right now.
If you watch bizarre shows, I don't know if you want to share that with other people.
Yeah, yeah.
My tastes are pretty tame, so I don't mind sharing what I'm watching. And actually, I got a couple of posts like on Identica. People were asking about it, asking what I was using to do it. And I pointed them to the website that has the script, and I will put that in the show notes. Mm-hmm. As usual, we got quite a bit of email again. A lot of positive feedback from people. Everybody who's emailed us.
Yep.
Thank you. We really appreciate it.
One somewhat obscure negative feedback.
Yeah, we won't go into that. We'll leave that be. We got a shout out from Klaatu from the Bad Apples podcast. Thanks, Klaatu. We're glad you're enjoying the show. We also got a shout out from Chess Griffin, formerly of Linux Reality, and also now on the Linux Link Tech Show. And we got a couple of emails. We got an email from Don Greer. He says, I want to use software RAID 0 on my MythBox, my theory being the faster drive access will facilitate recording multiple simultaneous channels on a single core system. I have socket 478 boxes laying around. I Googled MythBuntu and RAID and found several sites that recommend installing Ubuntu server with RAID, then installing MythTV desktop on top. This may work better anyway, since I would like to use the same box as a file, wget/*server. Do you have an opinion on the best way to implement RAID? My apologies if you have covered this. I am not caught up on the shows yet. Don Greer. Don, we have not. We talked a little bit about RAID. We mentioned it, but we really didn't go into detail. Let's see. You've got some RAID set up.
I got a RAID on my server set up, and it's hardware RAID. I've tried software RAID.
Now when you say server, is this your backend system or just a separate server?
This is just a separate server that I have running. And honestly, I would stay away from the software RAID aspect of this. If it fails, a lot of corruption occurs. I think it's really hard to recover from. I don't know. It may have gotten better. It's been a couple years since I looked into it or even tried it. But I have a three-ware card on my server that has a nice little command line interface to it, as well as a web interface to it. It allows me to go in and see the status of the drives. They're really not that bad. It's like $129, on Newegg. At least it was. It does two drives, so I have very limited RAID capabilities, but I more or less mirror it so that I can maintain backups
of my... Which is RAID 1. But he's talking about doing RAID 0, which is just striping.
For striping, yeah. But I think with software RAID, there might be too much... performance overhead in it with memory utilization.
He's talking about a single core CPU. So, why tax your CPU more than what you're going to do? Especially if you're going to be doing other services, for instance, as a file server or an Asterisk box.
Yeah.
So, if you're going to be using that as an Asterisk box, you got a phone call and you're recording and you're doing software. Right?
Something's going to crap out on you. So.
Yeah, I have the same exact three-ware card as you do.
Yeah.
And I have not had any issues. This is not just a server. I don't use this as my Myth backend.
Yeah.
This is just a server that I have. I have my web blog on there, and I also have some file stuff on there that I use. And it's also a RAID 1 configuration, and I've been running that for close to 2.5 years now. Mm-hmm. Zero problems.
Yeah.
Like you said, the command line interface is pretty easy to go in there and check it out. You could check if any of the drives are kicking out errors. Is any corruption going on?
The web interface is easy to set up, too.
Very easy.
I think now, even in Ubuntu, if you're running something with Ubuntu, they actually have it in the repos that you can go in and... It might have just been the command line interface. I don't remember. It's been quite a while since I set that server up, so...
Yeah, I recommend. I agree with you totally. Mm. Stay away from software RAID.
But I think he was concerned about better performance for recording multiple simultaneous channels. Honestly, I got three tuners set up in my box now, and unless I'm trying to watch something while the three tuners are all working at the same time, I don't notice it. So I don't know. I think you might just want to try it out, before going through all this hassle of setting up the software RAID and see what you get, see what type of performance you get out of it. I'm also I've heard the socket 486. I'm assuming that's an Intel socket.
478?
Intel 478, yeah. I don't know what that is. I don't know how old of a processor that is there. So it's.
I think that's a little old.
A little old. Yeah.
Usually, so. I think they're single cores.
Yeah.
I think my Ardour box here is a 478.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's AMD.
It's an AMD. Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, if you're gonna be doing multiple stuff, most modern drives are pretty quick. I have that 1 terabyte. Drive that I have in my MythBox now. That's 7200 RPM serial ATA. I'm recording a high def show on my cam card. I'm recording a standard def through the PVR 150, and then I'm either watching another show, either a standard def show sometimes, or sometimes I'm streaming video stuff from Hulu or some other video site aggregation site, and I don't have any problems. And seriously, if you can get 7200 RPM serial ATA, I think you should be okay. Mm-hmm. I think RAID is overkill, in my opinion. But some people like doing that kind of thing. So
yeah.
If you want to do it, but I don't see the need myself.
Yeah, so I don't know. So long as you're backing up and whatnot, you're keeping everything up to date and backed up, Raid, I believe, is overkill on the myth box. I don't know what really you're gonna gain out of it. I don't know, something with maybe with the older chipset that you're talking about here. I'm not sure at this point without doing a little more research into it, but I think it's probably a little overkill. Make a server box out of that so you can
exactly,
you know,
a regular,
you know,
server,
yeah,
like
so you
a
can
storage
store
server.
All this stuff. You can run all these other things that aren't you know requiring like a graphical user interface or anything like that, and you know, just leave your myth box be a little bit lighter, you know, and just dump everything out to there.
Yeah, and regular standard hard drives are cheap to come mm-hmm. by these days. I mean, you know, 1 terabyte, we're talking $85-$75, mm-hmm. sometimes less.
Right. Now, there is one thing with some of these lower-end, these cheaper terabyte drives have issues running in a RAID setup. So you have to...
Really?
You got to check that because they will... They have some... I think it's something with, like, the cache write-through or something like that, that it will... On the cheaper ones, if so, in other words, if you buy one that's $78 and there's an option for one that's like $150, more like a server grade server, you know, hard drive,
real server, yeah. That's been getting a lot of activity.
Yeah, right. Yeah, try, you know, you want to look to make sure that it's not trying to do like, I guess, like it's too much caching or I don't know. I could be talking wrong here. So
my server that I have here, this is what I got it running on. I use that as a storage server. Mm-hmm. I have my videos, my music, and whatnot on there. I have my blog running through that. And my MIT stuff, the only thing, I mean, what I do is when I do my MIT setup, for all like the videos, music, photos, all that stuff, I point it to that server that
yeah,
I have.
Yeah, that's how I do it.
And
as well.
I just, you know, I share that via NFS and it, you know, it's a wired network. You know, the response is real good. You know, there's no lag whatsoever. Even when I was doing wireless upstairs for the standard def stuff, I mean, it was a little laggy just to get it going at first, but once it got going, mm-hmm. there was no lags or glitches. I could pause it.
Yeah.
You know, so over wired network, it flies, no problems. Mm-hmm. It's real good.
Yeah, I think so. To kind of answer your question here, Don, I'd stay away from the software RAID. Get a hardware RAID if you really want to go with a RAID setup. Otherwise, I think, you know, it might be a little overkill on your Myth TV setup. So.
Right. Mm. I guess we're going to get into our main topic.
Yep.
The main topic we're going to discuss tonight is setting up cam cards in your Myth TV setup. Now, cam, you can record over the air, ATSC, and you can also record on unencrypted digital cable.
Correct.
And I'm using it with my cable setups as well as you are.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, originally we had about 30 high def open channels. We're down to 6 now.
Yeah, 6. I don't even think I have 6. I think we have a different setup. And you know, we're both on RCN. RCN cable is who we both go through for our, you know, cable and internet and whatnot. And I believe I am only getting like 4 channels at this
I'm
point.
I'm getting
so.
All the networks and PBS yeah. in high def. ABC, CBS, NBC, CW.
Okay, yeah, I am getting those. I
PBS.
Yeah, I was having some issues with them for a while there, and now we're down to just those couple.
It's
of
a
channels,
shame, man.
So it really is
disappointing that yeah. they did that. It, you know, one it was like literally overnight. Like one overnight, I'm like recording shows like on certain channels, not even like supposed like you know movie channels mm-hmm. or top tier channels, regular cable station yeah. stuff like you know like Food Network and you know that kind of thing, you mm-hmm. know.
Let's see what happens come June 12th. Once the broadcast cuts over,
you think they're gonna kill the
analog
signal?
Who knows? I know a lot of cable companies were trying to do that. Where they were trying to use that as an excuse
to kill it off,
to close off that open yeah. cam, that open cam channels that they had. So RCN did it on February 17th.
Yeah,
it was
a while
when
ago.
When the original date was through, and since then we've only been able to have these local channels in PBS. So
it's kind of a shame.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one of the other things that they're doing with RCN is they still provide the analog feed.
Mm-hmm.
So upstairs in my guest bedroom, I have a little 20-inch TV up there, mm-hmm. you know, no cable box or nothing.
Yeah.
I plug it in, and I'm able to get everything below channel 100 for the
Again,
most part.
Again, check that after June 12th, because yeah. you might not be able to do that
What is
anymore.
That, Friday?
Yeah.
It's Friday. I'll see. Because if that's the case, if they kill the analog feed, okay, when I go to my PVR Hop Hog 1212 high def capture box, that's going to mean my PVR 150 is for the garbage then.
Yeah.
I won't be able to use
yeah,
it for
same anything. Thing with my PC,
the only way,
HDTV 55.
Like right now I use it going from the standard F cable box,
mm-hmm.
okay, using the composite connection going in to capture.
Mm-hmm.
You can also use the coax too. using that, it works fine. But if I'm going to go eventually all high def,
it's going to be 12-12s all across the board, you know?
It'll be time to retire the PVR 150s. It's kind of a shame because...
I'll have to also check and see, too, when this happens, if they're going to do something with that FireWire port that I have on that box. We'll have to see, you know?
Yeah, it's a bit disappointing. When I returned the other cable box, that was the DVR, the cable company DVR, and I went in there to the office, and I said to the girl, so, off the cuff, I'm like, so, how much longer are they going to run the analog feed? What analog feed? I'm like, you guys have an analog feed. No, we don't.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, right. No analog feed. She wouldn't even acknowledge that it was going.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't get the point of that.
But did she know the difference between digital and analog?
Who knows? She's just a clerk. Who knows what the deal is? Yeah, she works for the cable company, but who knows? Yeah, monkey see, monkey do.
That's right.
So that's where that's at. So back to Cam.
Yeah.
The quality is pretty good.
Oh, yeah. I really, really like it. I switched all of my high definition recordings so that that actually fires first.
Yeah.
Because I got the three tuners set up. The FireWire will hit second, and the PVR 150 will hit third. But if I can, I want to force it to go to the camera. The sound is good. The video quality is good. I know with issues with I don't know if you have this, but issues with ABC, for instance, if something records on ABC, I will periodically get like background music and no vocal, no,
really?
Yeah, no actual dialogue coming through
the cable box.
Yeah, through the cable
really?
Box. Yeah, so I mean, it's not even just the cable box that's hooked up to my Myth box. It's we have other cable
other
boxes throughout the houses.
Yeah.
Plus, they have this stuttering that takes place,
really,
almost as if it's like I'm on a satellite.
Really, so, which box are you using? The old the 60 old Motorola 6200.
I have a 6200. I have the DVR. That's this. What is it? 6412, and then we have another one. I think you have the little box.
Yeah, I have the new one now, which is the MX3200.
Okay,
think it is.
No, I don't have that one yet. But it's the it was a small little box.
The Motorola DCT700.
Yes, that's the one up in my
the
bedroom.
The one I set up with the blaster.
Mm-hmm. And it periodically you will get that type of weirdness that just comes across.
You know what kind of I actually know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Like I've noticed sometimes, even when I'm doing recordings on there, like in the middle of the night. I notice it more than during the daytime where I'll help you sometimes just watching a show where it'll start getting pixelated and the audio drops.
Mm-hmm.
And when you record it through Myth, it'll like skip ahead like 10 seconds because it's dropping frames.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not an issue with my lines or anything.
Right.
And it's not an issue with the TV because I see the same thing happening just watching TV.
Yep.
Now, I don't have those issues with the high def box at all.
Oh, no? The new one? Maybe I got to switch. Maybe I got to get them to upgrade me to the new one because I get that issue nonstop.
I wonder if that's the cable company degrading the signal to a certain point where it's like almost like treading water where it's... You know, it's still usable, but they're just trying to squeeze as much bandwidth out of it.
Yeah, and another thing, too, is it's a shared network. So, I mean, you know, if everybody, you know, all your neighbors and whatnot, right? I mean, if they all start jumping on it at the same time, I imagine.
I have to say, though, I have internet with RCN, too. Mm-hmm. You know, I have everything. I have the phone, the cable TV, and I have the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And
me, too.
When we first moved into this house, they had Service Electric, which is a small regional provider in this area. And I had them for internet connection was the only thing I had them for. I would notice that, you know, my neighbors would get on the network. It was noticed about night where the speeds would slow down.
Yeah.
But with RCN, which is still cable, the speeds don't drop. I run the speed test and they're pretty solid. So
right.
I give them that much as far as the speed.
You're not running RCN speed test, right? You're
going, no.
Okay, some third party one.
I'm running a different one.
Yeah, I had a friend.
I think I'm running the one of the DSL ones. Maybe it's Speakeasy.
Yeah, okay.
Speakeasy is a great ISP, by the way. Have you had them before?
I haven't had them, though.
Dan Washko, when he was living over in Bethlehem in the house over, we used to do the texture from there, he had Speakeasy, and very reasonable rates, very reliable company, good service.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a lot of people, I can't get that over here.
Yeah.
You know, that's DSL, though, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, but they're very good. They're very, and they don't block any services. Like, RCN blocks ports.
Yeah.
Dude,
like, I can't run 80. I can't run port 80.
Yeah, that's a given. So, like, my blog, if anybody goes to my blog, you can see it's running on 8080.
Right.
So, which is a workaround, you know, but it's a minor nuisance.
Yeah.
Have you ever had any issues with VPN?
Out? No. Because I VPN into work all the time.
What are you using?
They have Checkpoint for the VPN. I'm trying to find a Linux client too, because I'm trying to talk them into letting me upgrade.
I've tried
Vista for Linux.
Getting it to work, we use Cisco.
Okay.
And.
Well, yeah, you wrote the dev package for that, right?
Yeah. It was actually a GUI front end I created the package for. But I just packaged it. I didn't write the app.
Mm.
But it was GVPN Dialer was the app
name. Right.
And I just created an Ubuntu version. Excuse me. But basically what it was with Cisco, with RCN, I don't know what they're doing. Sometimes I have issues, and I think it's RCN. I don't think it has anything to do with my work VPN or the software.
Mm.
I think it's RCN
blocking. I've never had an issue with Checkpoint. I've always seemed to have been able to connect. Without, I haven't had any issues.
The bottom line is these ISPs are clamping down.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's kind of a bummer. Yeah. You know, we're paying for content, and they're dicking around like doing this kind of thing.
And you pay a lot too.
It's expensive.
My bill right now is like 160 some a month or whatever for the three services together, and that's after every year I go back to them and say, okay, what deals do you have right now that I can keep my same bandwidth and my same programming and all that stuff. Yeah.
Honestly, I've had cable TV, I've had satellite. I don't have any allegiance to any one of them. I'll jump to whatever's better.
Mm-hmm.
Like my neighbor, he's got DirecTV, he has the HD deal, and I watched the content. He has a nice TV. He's got a Sony, it's a real nice TV. And he's got the high def through the satellite. And to be honest, I think right now the cable, the quality's a little better.
Yeah. Because, there could be some, high overhead storm that you're not even seeing anything, and that causes you to screw up.
Cable TV, I haven't had HD satellite. I had standard def satellite with DirecTV and Dish Network both. Mm. And the only time that I had any issues with weather was it would have to be, like, a torrential downpour with, mothballs. Yeah. Hail coming down the size of mothballs.
My neighbor just had DirecTV set up not too long ago, and... Literally, the next day, it was down for 10 hours because of a storm.
Really?
A storm came through. And he said, yeah, we had nothing for like 10 hours.
Wow.
And I said, that's why I don't use satellite.
I've never had that issue with satellite. The worst issue, like I said, was heavy, heavy, heavy downpour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It'll cut out. The satellite, when I was on Service Electric, there would be bad storms and stuff. And sometimes the service would go down for like an hour or two.
Mm-hmm.
RCN hasn't gone down, I have to say. I think since I've had it, since I switched over like 3 years ago, I think it's gone down like once.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm.
So, it's good and bad. I look at my bill. Okay. I'm paying for like $160 for everything, for my phone, for my, my cable TV and my internet. Okay. My internet, I'm getting 5 megabits down and like 768 up.
Mm.
Okay. Which is a decent speed. It's nice. And I have to say their quality is pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
Their speed tests show I constantly get steady rates. So they're not degrading. Their network is good. The phone is the cheapest thing on the bill. I think the phone is like $30.
And I never use it.
I use it.
My wife uses it, but I rely on my cell phone. I run everything through my work cell phone.
I'm trying to be a tie away. Like, my wife hasn't been working, since we got little kids, and she's a stay-at-home mom and stuff. And we try to save some money here and there. And we cut back our cell phone usage big time because it's expensive, We were like, on a family plan. It was like $80 a month, man. Mm-hmm. You don't need that. I do the pay-as-you-go with the cell phone, and I think I'm paying about $20 every 2 months.
Oh, yeah?
Because I don't use the phone that much. So
I rely on my cell phone.
Some people live on their cell phones.
Yeah, I'm pretty much on call, now with work. So I'm not even paying for that line anymore because my work covers it. So
yeah. So the number one thing that's on my cable bill is my cable TV.
Yeah.
And I've gotten rid of all my movie channels.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but they get you for, they say that the high def channels are free. Okay, that's BS because what they consider free are the network stations, the six network stations, basically. If there are other high def channels on there, for instance, run of the mill cable type stations like History Channel, Food Network, Travel Channel, Lifetime Network.
That's all in a tier.
That's like all run of the mill cable stations. That's not like movie channels or anything.
Right.
Nothing too crazy. And to get those channels in high def, you have to pay what they call the high def tier. It's like, what is it, like $12 a month,
Like that, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a fee. The one thing that drives me insane about cable TV is they have the balls to charge like a monthly rental for their boxes. Mm-hmm. Okay, when I had satellite TV, they never charged you for hardware.
Well, didn't you pay for the hardware up front, though?
No.
No? I thought that's what you do.
I never paid for hardware with the satellite. The only thing I possibly think that you might pay for hardware is if you get the DVR. Mm. But they run specials all the time where you can get the DVR or like multiple room boxes. They don't charge you anything. Mm-hmm. You know, with a cable company, for like a standard def box, they charge you $5, $7, you know, a month rental.
Right, right.
For the high def boxes, they charge $10, $12, $15. Mm-hmm. If you get the DVR, it's like $20 a month.
Right.
That's a lot. All this crap adds up, you mm-hmm. know?
Oh, yeah. I have a lot of contention with like the micro monopolies that start up because of these things. Like in my area where I live, if I live a mile down the road, I can choose. Do I want Service Electric? Do I want RCN? Do I want a satellite or whatever? Right now where I live, the only thing that I can do is RCN or go with a satellite. And I've had
The internet with the satellite.
No, and
crap.
There's no DSL in my area, so I still would have to go through RCN to get a broadband connection. DSL for some reason still hasn't made it into my Fios. They said isn't going to be in my area until 2014, so I'm not going to be living there by then. So
AT&T has a similar thing now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the same thing. Basically, all they're doing is they're getting into the cable TV business. Is mm-hmm. what they're doing.
Yeah,
they're running fiber optic cable. They give it like a fancy name, like Fios. And
yeah,
stuff. It's
yeah.
cable TV.
Right, right.
They give you a cable box. It's going over a fiber network connection outside to your house. It's cable TV.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But see, things like Hulu and all that stuff are gonna start really changing that, you know.
You know, it's like a war with that.
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. Hulu was dicking around. You know, they didn't want third party apps using their APIs mm-hmm. and accessing stuff. You know, there was Boxy, there was XMPC. Right. You know, and then you know some of the Myth people they wrote this Myth Vodka plugin.
Mm-hmm.
It was working for a while, great with Hulu and also the BBC iPlayer and stuff.
Yeah.
But then, you know, it becomes like a cat and mouse game. And mm-hmm. where does it stop? Now you hear that what they're doing is they have their own application mm-hmm. for Windows and Mac only so
yeah.
far.
Yeah. Screw that.
You know.
I'm not going to run a VM on my MythBox on TV just to watch Hulu. Hulu. Yeah.
So
I think that's going to be the direction. You're going to see a lot of these things, I think, pop up that are all going to be trying to deliver all of this content to you. And you're going to start eventually seeing less and less be relying on the cable providers. And I think that the cable providers are going to be the ones who are going to be buying into this so that they can somehow still get a piece of that. So
I do notice like they do try different services. Like one of the things, you know, I look through the video on demand menus and stuff. Occasionally, they'll have a show in there that's like, they'll show like a week before it's actually run.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not this year, but the year before, they had a bunch of shows on there where you could watch like the premiere pilot episode.
Right, right.
Like
right.
a week or two before the show actually aired.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. that was kind of cool, you know? Yeah. But then what really pisses me off is like, if you have pay per view movies and stuff, they charge like quite a bit more for the high def movies. It's like, I think the pay-per-views for the standard def movies are like $3.
I just paid for one. It was $4.99 for a standard def.
Well,
yeah.
Wow.
And I think it's $5.99 maybe for the high def.
Is it $5? Or is it more?
I think it was $5.99
yeah. for... You know, they never give you freebies, mm-hmm. I notice. Whereas when I was on satellite with both DirecTV and Dish Network, mm-hmm. every once in a while they throw you freebies. They send mm-hmm. you, in with your bill, you'd get a 2-3 coupons. Here's a pay-per-view movie on us. Mm-hmm. Three of them.
I got a couple of those from RCN, actually, but...
Never gotten anything.
I pay everything online. I never could send in one of those things to them with my bill. Because I don't actually get a paper bill in my hand, so it does me no good.
Never gotten any...
Their website is awful, by the way, too. Going through there to try to
what
pay...
What, do they run an ISS?
Oh, it's probably.
Horrible.
I think there was a while... There was for a while there, I don't even think I was paying for it, because I accidentally transposed numbers in my account, and... It just still kept going through, and I wasn't getting charged for it. So they no one was doing any validation testing.
They're tightening
there either,
up the ship
so.
There. Like I was yeah. telling you, when I got the cable installed a couple of years, 2.5 years ago, you know, they had a third party guy, like, you know, subcontract do the install, and he asked me, "Do you want the DVR?" Blah blah blah. I'm like, "No." Because
mm-hmm.
it's crap. I've had them.
Yeah,
They're crap. They're very basic. The guy gave it to me
and
anyway.
It doesn't work half the time either.
But for 2.5 years, they never knew that they should have been charging me, you know, the $20 or whatever, that month, $18, $19, whatever it is.
Right.
They were just charging me the price for like a regular, you know, rental for this high def box. It was only when I had like a sports package, season package, that they
saw
it. They clued
in. Hey, you're paying for that. You're not paying for that.
Yeah. But they're tightening the screws there.
Yeah.
Ugh. another bitch out. We're bitching a lot about RCN.
Yeah, yeah.
We can't help it. I have one more bitch out about RCN. I'm a big soccer fan, and the two main channels to watch soccer content is Fox Soccer Channel and Gold TV. Fox Soccer Channel shows English League Premiership and a lot of Serie A from Italy. And then Gold TV shows the Spanish League and the Bundesliga from Germany. And those are like the main four foreign leagues that I follow. And occasionally Gold TV will show a lot of South American stuff like Brazilian, Argentinian, sometimes Copa Libertadores, which is the big South American club tournament. And then, you know, I like those channels. Now, those two channels were part of like what they called the digital tier. You know, whatever it was, 10, 12 bucks, you know, extra for a month, you needed a digital converter box to get them.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. This, I just got my last bill. Gold TV, they're charging now extra $2 a month. No warning, no announcement, nothing.
Hmm.
Just showed up $2 extra a month.
I did get a mail saying that they were going to up the price on certain things. I don't recall if those were listed on there or not, but my entire bill went up, I think, like 12 bucks. 12 bucks a month. So, yeah.
That's why people want to go to like something like you know, Hulu or something like that, mm-hmm. where it's all online.
Pirate Bay.
They shut that down. There are other torrent sites. I don't condone the use of illegal torrents.
I don't either. But occasionally, if I miss something or whatever, or you know, get a storm and something fails to record or something like that.
You want me to do a Hulu bitch out? I'll give you a Hulu bitch out right now. I really didn't follow Fringe while it was being aired.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I watched a couple episodes when it was like the last 3-4 episodes. I liked the show. Like, hey, this is a cool show.
Mm-hmm.
So from that point on, I recorded the last few episodes. But like, I want to go back to the first episode and watch those, you know, 14-15 episodes that mm-hmm. I didn't see. I go to Hulu, and Hulu only has like the last 5 episodes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I had to go to a Turkish website. Okay, dizzyport.com, DIZIPORT. Okay, and watch the shows in English, but with Turkish subtitles.
Oh.
And my Turkish has improved greatly. Now, there are also Chinese websites that do the same thing. So if you want to learn some Mandarin or, you know, Cantonese,
there you go.
Go to Chinese. If you want to learn Turkish, go to Turkish site.
Yeah.
But, you know, they do crap like that.
Exactly.
But I have to say, the quality of streaming off of Hulu for standard def is quite good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all Flash-based, right?
Yeah.
It's very good, I have to say.
You know what? I was checking out a Dave Matthews concert the other night on Fuse. I don't think we get the Fuse channel or anything like that, but they recorded this. They put it out there.
That's the Canadian, the old Canadian MTV station.
Is that what it is? Is that what Fuse is?
Yeah, what it was a Canadian station that was like MTV, had nothing to do with MTV, but it was like the same kind of station, music and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they got bought by American company and they changed the name.
Okay.
And that's what that is.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, that came across in high def. That looked great. So I don't know. That was really the first thing that I ever really looked at on Hulu. So, I mean, I thought it looked great. You showed me a couple things actually one time on Hulu and I thought they all looked really good. And that was on your standard def TV too.
Yeah, it looks good. Mm-hmm. The only thing I noticed when streaming off of Hulu, like I posted in our forum, a little how to, you know, I say, you know, why are we still fighting with Hulu doing this cat and mouse thing with their APIs? Just use a browser. So mm-hmm. what I said was, okay, here's a way to set up, you know, Firefox through Myth. You go into Myth menu, you can create a menu entry for Firefox,
mm-hmm.
and you use this homepage that the Norse TV guys have. That's like an aggregator for like all online video content. It's awesome. I've never seen a better list anywhere. So I make that my homepage. So when it opens up, I can go there and I can select by TV show.
Mm-hmm.
It'll take me to like 3, 4, 5 different legal legal streaming sites that show this content.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Hulu's one of them. And you know, I go through that and I go to Hulu and it looks great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the only thing with Hulu is I notice that like if there's a lot of like action movement and stuff, you'll see like a little pixelization once in a while. But overall, the quality is excellent. I have to say they do a very good job with that.
How intrusive are the ads?
Not too bad.
Not too bad?
Yeah. Like, well, I've been watching the Fringe stuff the last few episodes.
I like that show, by the way. So I've been following it since it started. So.
Yeah, I got into that late. I'm trying to. The other show that I'm starting to get into, I'm going to try to get into is The Dollhouse, which did get renewed.
That was good too. That was really good too.
So same bullshit with that too. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Almost got canceled too. Yeah. By the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fox is the absolute worst when it comes to canceling shows.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I saw your posting about canceling shows.
Fox is the worst. They've killed so many shows off in the past.
Yeah.
But The Dollhouse, so you know, same crap. They only show the last 5 episodes. I gotta go to that Turkish night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Slop.
And Eliza Dushku is really hot too, so
I won't argue with you. I nod my head. But anyway, we were talking for a bit now. So let's get back to the cam. okay? When you get a cam card, okay, you plug it in. It's usually PCI. And what it is when you go into your MIT setup, it should get recognized. My Avermedia A180 cam card, that one, it doesn't show like the specific card in the listing. I just used a generic DVB.
Mm-hmm. That's what I did for the PC, the HDTV.
Gets recognized. Yep. I see it get initialized. Mm-hmm. In the MIT setup, there's this little thing that says scan for channels. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you fire that off, and you know, we talked a little bit in the last episode, and we showed in the screencast the button. And what will happen is you'll hit this button, and it'll go out and start doing the scanning.
Mm-hmm. There's some things you can do there to maximize your time, I'll say.
Yeah,
you definitely want to switch it, at least here in the United States, you want to switch it to U.S. cable, the high frequencies. So I think it's called HRC, U.S. cable HRC. That will only scan the high frequencies because that's typically where the U.S. companies put their high def channels. Yeah, otherwise, you're going to scan everything and it's going to find, you know, all of the analog channels and all of that stuff. I personally don't use it for that. I use it strictly to record high definition because I believe there's some issues with the PCHDTV 5500 from switching between the analog and the digital channel. So I just use it strictly for the high def channels, but that will actually increase or decrease the time that you sit there waiting for that thing to scan tremendously. So
yeah, another thing that you'll want to do is there's a little check off where it says scan only unencrypted channels.
Only unencrypted channels.
And you want to do that because again, otherwise you're going to get like 200 channels.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So you check that off and it'll reduce things quite a bit.
Right.
Now I do record some standard def open channels on there, so that those come through okay. With the cable, they have it encoded as MPEG-2, and the audio is digital AC3, because I can do pass through on my recorded shows off the cam, and it'll feed through my receiver,
right,
the digital audio. So right, that's kind of cool. It's a nice thing to know.
Right.
So we're gonna do a little screencast here.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna start it up. And what we're going to do is Dan's going to hit record. That's the first thing.
I'm switching over here first. There. Now it's recording.
Okay. So the screen. So at this point, we got the screencast going. It's not going to be as long as we did the last one. The last one we did was like 40 minutes, and I thought it could have been cut down a little bit. So just for people who are just listening, we'll describe what we have. And then you can go see the screencast on ShowMeDo. ShowMeDo is a great website. They have a lot of like programming video how-tos and stuff on there. So I decided to upload the video up to there. They have their stuff streamed in Flash, but when I recorded the screencast, it wasn't in Flash. I recorded to AVI. And what they do is they re-encode it to Flash. But the quality is quite good. I was quite satisfied to the quality that you could see. So if anybody hasn't seen the screencast from the last episode, go to ShowMeDo, or you can go to our website, mittvcast.com.
Yeah, I have it embedded right there on the website.
You can watch it right off the website, or you can go to ShowMeDo. Mm-hmm. So I think going forward, anytime we do a screencast, we'll embed them right on the main page there.
I think I'll replace the existing one that's there with the most current one, but still provide links to the other ones.
You can push them down.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, keep them. All right. Until we get too many, then.
Yeah.
Then we'll go. Okay, so what do we have here, Dan?
So right now, I'm first looking at my Schedules Direct account, okay? Just disregard all of my other information on the page. But you see here that I actually have two lineups created. I have one for standard def, and I have one for the high definition. And that's going to be the one that we'll take a look at for right now.
And what this is, this will list out all your channels.
Right. Okay. So this has everything. It's broken down by, I believe, by category or something like that.
You can do it just numerically.
Yeah.
Now, for people who don't know that are in Europe or in Australia, here in North America, We use Schedules Direct for our programming guide information. We pay $20 a month US, and it's quite good. I can't complain about it. I think it's decent quality. I've had zero issues with it. The only issue that I had recently with it was my yearly renewal was up, and I have my PayPal account. I use one of those encryption dongles. You know, it's actually a fob, I guess they call it.
Yeah, really the fobs.
Dongle.
Yeah,
dongles where you plug in. Mm. But this thing is just a little fob. So it's a little, you know, little encryption key. You hit the button and it gives you a password. Mm-hmm. So that's what I use for PayPal. Now, for some reason, with the Schedules Direct, like from the Schedules Direct website, I would say, okay, click on renew. It would take me to PayPal. It would ask for my password. I would try logging in, and it would kick out. It wouldn't let me log in. Okay, but I can log into PayPal. Otherwise, no problems.
That's
with
weird.
It. Yeah, so I wound up using the Google service.
Google checkout.
Yeah, yeah, and that worked fine. Mm-hmm. But that was just a weird issue. I should probably send an email to the Schedules Direct people letting them know. Mm. I don't know if anybody else has had the same issue.
Inside this lineup, though, I can click on any of these to remove them or enable them.
Okay, looking at what we have here, we have channels, and they're highlighted red.
Yep. Those are encrypted channels.
Ah. So for the purposes of your camp card, you don't want these channels.
No.
So what you do is you would turn it off. By turning them off and making it red, your MythFill database script, when it goes out and pulls down the schedule and information, it will not pull down the information for those channels, and you will not see those channels show up in your guide.
Right.
In your channel lineup. Because if you're not, for that card, you don't want it.
Wait here.
Otherwise, you're going to have, you know, four or five same channels repeated over and over again.
Actually, when I click on it, it gives you this little highlight through, strike through, saying that it's not going to be downloaded the next time. But these are showing, I believe they're showing that they are encrypted channels at this point. Oh, no, I'm sorry, here. It's just that they're enabled.
Okay.
So it's a lot more simpler than that.
So you're getting the feeds for those channels.
Yeah, so I'm getting, I right now for my high def ones, I get the feed for everything, because when I eventually do switch over to the 1212, I want to be able to pull everything in that I have. What I do, I'll show you later in my MythTV, my MythWeb interface, is I actually go in and disable those channels so that MythTV or the MythFill database
doesn't
pick them up.
And it doesn't show up on your guide when
it doesn't show up on the guide. They're basically hidden at that point, yet they're still out there and it's still aware of them.
So you got to just check them off when you want to go live.
Right,
them.
Right. So then when I do eventually switch to that 1212, boom, I just enable them all and everything should come back down again.
Okay.
But I have the two. I have this one here so that I could pull in the XML ID XML was XML TV XML TV IDs.
Yeah, XML TV ID.
Yeah, I need to have those for later on when I actually go to update my cam channels so that it knows what channel that it thinks it is.
Right. What happens is when you run that scan with digital TV and cam and what it is, even ATSC over the air, is they're able to do multiple stations on one frequency.
Right.
So what you'll see is you'll see, like, once it comes back, you'll see like a channel, like say 70, and it'll say like something like 70 pound 1, 70 pound 2, 70 pound 3.
Right.
130, 131, 132.
Yeah.
So you'll see multiple entries under the same quote-unquote frequency.
Right. So I will take those then inside my MythWeb interface, and I'll do a mapping with them to make it look like that this channel happens to be, for instance, an ABC channel or a Fox channel or something like that.
Right. One cool trick that you turned me on to when setting up cam is, for instance, you know, this is your high def lineup, right? Mm-hmm. If we have the cam doing separate recordings, and then say we want to have our quote unquote main recording device, you know, down the road, and it's a PVR 1212. What we do is you can create different channel numbering sequences for those cam channels.
Right.
And I did the same thing too. What I did was I took the 800 range, which were open for us, and for those six channels of HD that we get, I gave them numbers in the 800s.
Right.
The reason being that I want to be able to, when I have the PVR 1212 hooked up, that's going to have the normal station numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But the cam is going to have the 800. So what happens is once I have all my channels, I go into my guide, I can pick and choose where to record from.
Exactly.
I can pick from the cam stations, or I can record off the 1212 off the high def cable box.
Right.
So that's the idea behind doing something like that. You don't have to do that.
No.
But I think it's a good idea if the cam is going to be like an extra secondary recording device.
Mm-hmm.
You want to have the channels off on a separate range.
Right. And what I typically do is, if, like, for instance, ABC for me is 180, I pick 880 in that range. So I know I could just flip-flop real easily back and forth. I don't have to remember unique lineups or anything like that. I just know that I can look at ABC on the high-def box as 180, or I can look at on my cam channel as 880. So in that 800 range. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to post a little, you know, open office spreadsheet to the show notes then that kind of shows what it is. I broke down my local channel, my XML ID TV, XML TV ID, the channel that I mapped it to then, and the
cam channel that was listed inside of Myth, what it thought it was. So I'll show how all that mapping takes place in a spreadsheet that you'll be able to just download and take a look at.
Okay, so from the Schedules Direct website, the piece that you're going to want that's really important is the XML ID. So when Dan here goes, highlights the mouse over on one of the channels, go to one of the channels, you'll see it pop up. Okay, you see the ID number for the station.
I can see that here. So let's just pick this one here. So in this little pop-up here, it has the ID.
It doesn't stay up.
No, it doesn't stay up.
So for that station, what's the ID number?
Write down quick. The other thing you can do, too, is you can also just open up your existing MythWeb. If you happen to have another recording device already installed, like for me, I had the FireWire one on there, and then I did the Cam one afterwards, it will download all of those beforehand, and I can just go right down, okay, ABC, here it is, and then I'll just pluck it down to 180 when I get a chance to update it. So
gotcha. So this is the information we need of the Schedules Direct. Now you're going to go to your Myth TV web interface.
Yes. So this is my Myth web interface here, and this is all of my channels that you'll see here. So actually, we should have gone back to this here 1 second. So we wanted to, okay, we're going to take BET here. It's 10051. That's the XML TV ID that I need. When you look in the MythWeb interface here, you're going to see this column here is the XML TV ID. This is the column that you want to update.
From Schedules Direct.
So this will actually tell the MythFill database process to go out and pull down the information and tie it to this extra channel as well. You can have multiple ones in here. Like, you can look over here, you say, I have multiple sources. There. Once you get down lower, you'll see a 3 in there as well. And you'll see the same channels so that, you know, I can record off of multiple channels at the same time.
That's why you would do something. I did the same exact thing for the 6 HG stations and then whatever, 6, 8, 10, whatever standard def coming through the cam. I did the same thing.
Right.
I put them into the 800 range, and I just went into the Schedules Direct like you went into, and I updated the XML IDs. Mm-hmm. And now I have those populated with the guide information.
Right.
So what are some of the other columns that are in the settings here for the channels?
See.
You can scroll over and show everybody. So it has the station ID name, and then it has a description.
Also the channel.
The channel number. What happens is when it's first populated, when you don't do any of the XML IDs, I think that number is the same, the channel number as well as the ID is the same.
Yeah.
Now, you don't need to update that if you're not doing CAM with it. This is only with CAM-type devices that you need to populate the XML ID. Otherwise, you're going to be doing, you know, a blaster kind of deal.
Right, right.
And it really doesn't – you don't need to tie it back separately. It's all
and typically when I go to name them, I actually throw CAM in there just to kind of differentiate them as well, so that if you're looking in the guide and you're not seeing the, for some reason it's cut off or whatever, you know, you can go ahead and look for the description name as well.
So. Right. So like Dan was saying, you know, it's a really good idea. Maybe what you could do is create a spreadsheet with the frequencies and the channel names and what you're signing it to, along with the XML ID. So now you have a backup. So if somewhere down the road you need to reinstall everything, or you upgrade and then the upgrade goes horribly bad and you need to do a clean install, you could just go back to your spreadsheet. You got any information. You open up MythWeb here. Mm-hmm. You populate all your columns correctly, and you're set.
Yep.
I mean, it's very tedious. We talked about it a little bit on the other show. It's very tedious doing CAM, and it's not.
Although, not so much anymore now that they've restricted all the channels that we can have.
Six HG channels, as opposed to 30. So you're going to go in and you're going to update those fields. And then what you're going to do is you're going to hit save through the MythWeb.
Yep.
And then what's recommended you do is you do a MythFill database, so it starts pulling in the data for these channels that you set up. And then it might be a good idea to do a reboot. I've noticed that it doesn't really quite take unless you do a full reboot.
Yeah. Maybe not even reboot. Just kill the Myth backend.
Restart it.
Yeah.
And then that should do it. And once you have the cam set up, you're done.
Yep.
Now, the only thing that you have to keep an eye on is sometimes not so much with the cable frequencies, but sometimes I've heard that some of the over-the-air stuff, the frequencies might change.
Might switch. Yeah, periodically you may want to go in and just rescan it to see if anything new comes back in. Yeah,
it pops up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they might just change the frequency.
Do that now and just go see. Maybe they opened up some of those other channels for us again. Who knows? You know.
I doubt it. Don't hold your breath.
That's right. No freebies, right?
So. Yeah. Now, the HG Home Run, it works in a similar fashion as these cam cards. Mm-hmm. You got to do a scan. You get your frequencies. It's the same kind of deal. You see multiple digital channels on the same frequency numbers with, you know, different numbers assignments, and you got to do the same thing.
Yeah.
It's very tedious. You know, to be able to automate this would require everybody living in different areas to go do scans of everything.
Yeah,
and then update the database, and then people after the fact can And that's just what you've done.
Mm-hmm. But, and then somebody has to go in and be responsible for maintaining that list then.
Because
when things do change, and they periodically do, so.
As the fashion is with a lot of open source projects, is you'll get hate mail from people who you know, don't appreciate the fact that you're busting your ass for nothing.
Right, right. The last thing I want to mention about this interface here is this visible column here. This is how you actually go in and hide those channels that you don't want to show up. So for me, I can get, like, for instance, this is the on-demand channel. I don't have access to the on-demand functionality with my Myth TV because I'm not using like the Blast. If I was using like the Blaster setup like you have, you'd be able to do it because it's just coming over coax at that point.
Right.
But since I don't have access to that over FireWire where my on-demand is located, I don't care about it. I just say uncheck the visible. I do this for all of like the HBO channels and, you know, anything that's all the pay-per-views, all the digital audio channels, you know, I don't do any. I actually use my Myth TV for that type of stuff. I don't use the programming from RCN for that.
Okay, we're gonna stop the screencast now. So basically, all you're gonna do is you're gonna open up the Myth Web and you're gonna go to your Skitchless Direct and you're gonna go and update the XML ID values for the appropriate cam channels that you're pulling in.
Mm.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah. And unfortunately, we can't show actually scanning for the channels because we don't have a.
It would take too long.
Yeah, we don't have anything hooked up to the demo recorder here that we can actually do that.
What I would have to do is get an actual box with Myth TV installed and install the recorder on there.
Yeah.
And do it from there. Some people have asked us to do that. If you looked at some of the comments that show me, they're like, this is cool, but I'd like to see it on an actual, you know, working device. I don't have a spare box. If someone wants to send us, you know, a spare box, we'll set up a test machine.
Definitely.
And we could do some how-tos and stuff, you know. It would have to be, my only requirement is it's 2 gig processor.
Yeah.
Dual core.
Yeah. Quite a bit of RAM.
You don't need to give us a drive. I can go pick one up. But if you want to send us a box that's got a couple gig of memory, you know, I'll be willing to take it. And that's pretty much that. So what else we got for tonight? Anything else you wanted to talk about related to Mint?
I don't think so. I think I'm good for tonight. You were doing the re-encoding to the N800.
Yes. Some people have asked us, you know, what we use to re-encode recordings from Myth TV for our Nokia N800s.
Mm-hmm.
I have an N800. I think it's a great little device.
Yep.
They've come down in price because the N800 and the N810 have been end of life because the new version of MAMA, which is the OS, the Debian-based version of Linux that runs on there, the new version is not going to run on those older devices that we have.
Mm-hmm.
So
there's an N900 coming out.
Yeah, there's an N900. It's going to be actually a phone.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. I kind of like that idea. Some people hate it. We'll leave that for other
stuff. I think they've done some stuff to the form factor, too. It's like a smaller screen and
it's more
three
like a phone.
Row keyboard or something like
that.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's the real thing.
Yeah, it's kind of odd, some of the things they were talking about. So.
Yeah, but the N800 itself, I've been pretty happy with. I think it's a great little device.
Oh, I love it. I use it every single day.
I got it for $150 like over a year ago. Mm-hmm. And you could probably even get them even cheaper now.
I would imagine, yeah.
And, you know, you could watch your videos on there. You could listen to music. You can even use it as a remote TV, remote control for Myth.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody wrote an app.
Myth Tomer project out there.
It's
actually
kinda cool.
Runs over Telnet. It works good, too. I used it in the past.
And, I played around with it, too, and it works.
I like it.
So, you know. But anyway, so say you want to watch your videos that you've recorded with the MythBox. There's a couple different ways about it. Some people have written some scripts out there that are like standalone scripts that are written in Bash or Perl. I've played around with a couple of them. One of them I played with was Tablet Encode. And it actually does a very nice job of it. It uses Mencoder, which is what MPlayer uses.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually, previous to that, you know, most of the time if I'm exporting recordings, usually standard F. I use nav export, which is like a command line. You can also do it, set up a user job for it too. And I use that. I usually like archiving videos if I keep something around to, I like XVID. I think the quality is pretty good and the file size is fairly small.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, what I'll do is I'll do it at a lower resolution, you know, lower frequency. And that 2 gig standard F MPEG-2 will be like 300 meg, 350 meg for an hour.
Yeah.
And the quality is pretty good, and I throw that
out. If you look at any of the torrent sites out there, too, that's typically what you see. They see roughly about that size for an hour,
right.
You know, 350 megabytes or so, usually XVIDs.
Yeah, NUV export's pretty good. I use that predominantly for archiving my stuff, And most of the Myth-specific distros will have that in there by default.
Mm-hmm.
You could set up a user job, or you can do it from the command line, SSH in, and do it that way. I've done both of those. Tablet encode is it's Perl, and there is a GUI for it. What you could do is you could have it on your workstation and use the GUI. I played around with that. Now, one issue that I had re-encoding like some of the HD files,
mm-hmm.
another export, which uses FFmpeg by default, for some reason, the HD videos, the quality wasn't all that great.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a lot of stutter and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried doing some of those HD recordings that I had using tablet encode, which is using mcoder, and the quality I thought was very good. It has mm-hmm. a setting there. You pass it a flag of like best, and very good re-encoding. Mm-hmm. I did high def MPEG 2, and I also did the high def H.264,
mm-hmm.
you know, what the 1212 box does. And I was very happy with both results. The only negative of tablet encode is it does not recognize the commercial flagging.
Mm.
So either someone's got to go in there and change the program to do that. I'm not a Perl programmer, but I'd be willing to play around with it. Maybe I'll do that at some point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's one option. And like I said, the other option is NUVExport. What do you use?
Well, I used the tablet encode in the past. I haven't set it up yet since I redid the Mythbuntu box that's on there. But what I recently tried was the NUVExport.
Which is another what? Another Perl script or?
No, it's in the Ubuntu. It's in the Ubuntu repos. It's a program that's out there. It's got a web interface, so you can go set up the. You basically need to supply an FFmpeg command line to it. It gives you some presets in there and whatnot. They have a lot of stuff in there for like iPods and all this crap that I don't use.
Yeah, a lot of people use
so.
Like Arcos and
yeah,
Koans.
Exactly.
And
yeah, but I. I wanted to try and find a unique line for the N800, and it appears that at least when you look at the MAMO wiki for it, it requires like a two pass FFmpeg, you know, command.
I always do two pass because
yeah.
it's a better quality.
I didn't see anywhere in Myth Export that allows you to set up two pass, so you can have a line for the first pass and a line for the second pass.
And you have trouble passing both.
Yeah, things.
As a user job.
Yeah, and I don't see. Well, actually, it does the jobs right there through the interface. You can do it then. It does set up a user job that you can do it. You know, right from the remote or from Myth Web or something like that. But I just didn't see where you could set up a almost like script it so that it can do like a two pass. So I'll have to play around with that a little bit more when I get some more time.
You were happy doing it from the command line with the high def?
I didn't even get a good recording out of it for on the Nokia N800 just to see. So I have to play with it a little more. So
yeah, NUVExport with FFmpeg, I was not happy with the high def. Of re-encodings, but it worked. Tablet encode works great.
Yeah.
The only problem is, like I said, you got the commercial still in there. So if someone has, you know, is using other things, you know, I like to hear from you guys.
Yeah, me too.
If
definitely.
You do, what do you use to re-encode to the Nokia N800 and N810 for high def recordings? You know, are you using a script, you know, that other people are using? You got something that you've coded yourself?
Mm.
You know, please share with us. I'd love to see what everybody has, and maybe we could recommend something to everybody else.
Yeah, so far I think the best one that I had seen was the tablet encode, or there was also I think one that predated that. It was like 770 encode.
Yeah, that was the original version.
Yeah, that worked too, but the tablet encode I think worked the best.
There's another script called PDA. Encode. That's another
PD8?
One. PDA. You know,
PDA.
PDA encode.
Oh, okay.
And but the thing is, there's no Nokia settings in there by default, but you got to go in there and play with the settings and stuff.
Yeah.
I think there's a how-to on the MythWiki for that.
Okay.
PDA encode. Mm-hmm. So there are scripts out there. You know, those are just a few of them that we just mentioned. And personally, I think the best results for HD stuff re-encoded has been tablet encode.
Right.
So I'm going to try playing around. Now, with NUVExport, you can use other backends besides FFmpeg. You could use transcode, and you can use mcoder, which is what tablet encode uses, which is mplayer. So I'm gonna try playing around maybe NUVExport with mncoder and see if I get better results with that.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
So another show.
Good show.
Yeah, we kind of went a little too long on cable TV. A
little tangent there.
That's okay. We ranted.
Yeah.
It's okay. Everybody's got a bitch, something to bitch about. So
right.
You know what we bitch about. And that's about it. So we're going to wrap up the show. You know, please send us some you know, your feedback, you can go to the forums on the web, on the webpage. Just a quick update regarding the forums. We had an email. Someone was complaining about the web sign up not being secure. Mm-hmm. You can just put HTTPS, the linuxlink.net forums, and you can do it through that, and it will be encrypted. So mm-hmm. you can do that. So you don't have to just do HTTP when you do the sign up. So for people who are asking about that.
Okay.
And that's pretty much it. So we'll post some show notes on the wiki. You can check out the screencast off our webpage. You can email me. I'm Pat at themythtvcast.com.
I'm Dan at themythtvcast.com.
Yeah, we're on Twitter. We're also on Identica. Mm. I like Identica better, personally.
I think I'm going to switch over now.
And I'm
they're going to start charging you for Twitter.
They're going to start charging people for Twitter. They could piss off.
What is Ashton Kutcher going to do? He's going to have to do some more movies or something.
I mean, I love buckets of grilled chicken like anybody else, yeah. And especially when it's free, but I'm not paying for Twitter. So
no,
Go to Identica. It's cooler. Yeah. Cool. There's cooler people hanging out there. I will leave it at that. So this has been another episode of the MIT TV Cast, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week. Next week?
Two weeks.
All right. Till then, take care. Bye.
See ya.
Time, it's my life, it's my time. We've been getting nowhere.